Right, tonight we're doing the sugya of Kavod Abriyah. It's a very fascinating sugya in Brachos Taf Yud Tes and Beis. Let's read through the Gemara because all the halacha comes straight out of the Gemara over here, and one line of the Gemara, one girsa change in the Gemara is gonna educate us for all of the halacha lemaisa implications. Pretty much of the sugya of Kavod Abriyah. So it says the Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Tes and Beis. It's in the packets, source number one. Amar Rav Yudah Marav, Hamotzei Klayim Bebigdo. If a person finds Klayim in his begadim, so there it is. That line. What's the girsa? Is it Hamotzei Klayim or Hamotzei Klayim Bebigdo? You find shatness, or you find shatness in your own clothing. Nafkamina would be, if the girsa is you find shatness, it could be even in somebody else's clothing. But the way the Gemara says it, you find, the way we have the text, you find shatness in your own clothing, poshtan afilu bashuk. You need to remove that clothing, even if you're in a public place, and even though it's obviously very embarrassing to remove one's clothing in a public place, nevertheless you have to suffer that indignity rather than suffer the iser of wearing shatness for even a moment longer. My taima, what's the reason for this din? Ein chachma vein tvuna vein etza l'neged Hashem. That there's no etzas, there's no wisdom, there's no way around the Ratzon Hashem. And if the Ratzon Hashem is that you're not allowed to wear shatness, so you forget about all your dignities and you forget about everything else, you know, you do the Ratzon Hashem, there are no ways to work around the Ratzon Hashem.
What's the nature of that? Is that
Is that a din d'oraisa?
What do we need that for? Why would we have thought otherwise?
Good. That's a very good question. Meaning, why do I need this din midivrei kabbalah? Obviously. Meaning, who says my own? Why would I ever think my own dignity would beat out the Ratzon Hashem? It's a good question. It could be because the Gemara is going to come up with a competing concept that we need this din midivrei kabbalah to tell us that one is against Ratzon Hashem. So we'll get to it. Kavod Abriyah. Well, we'll see. But who says there is such a concept of Kavod Abriyah?
Right.
So we're going to see that there might be such a concept of Kavod Abriyah. We'll get to. Obviously, we'll get to. That's the sugya of Kavod Abriyah. What was I going to say? Oh yeah, you might think that this is the most non-practical, non-halacha lemaisa sugya. When does a person find shatness in his clothes? Would you even know what shatness looked like in your clothing in the market? Maisa Shahaya, I think it was the year we were learning Maseches Brachos, maybe the year after, one of the Rebbeim in the yeshiva told me that his wife was at shul on Simchas Torah, and the Rebbetzin of the shul came over to this Rebbe's wife and said, I love your skirt, is it from Annie Says, let's say, I just picked a name, and the woman said, yeah, it is. She said, oh, did you get a shatness checked? She said, no, I actually didn't. She said, oh, because I bought the same skirt from Annie Says, and I did get a shatness check, and it had shatness. So here she is in shul on Simchas Torah, and she was motzei klayim bebigda. She found shatness in her clothing. I mean, she didn't actually see the shatness, but she knows this brand, this exact skirt, was checked, and it contains shatness. So now what do you do? So says the Gemara, motzei klayim, you find shatness on your beged in a public place, you suffer the indignity, you take it off, and you... So we'll have to see. Is there any way? Obviously, it's not what she did. I shouldn't say obviously, but it's not. Well, you would have heard about it, I guess. But it's not what she did. So the question is then, what's the heter? Is there any way around it? So let's take a look at the Gemara Vayter. So it says Gemara Meisvei. Is this really true that you never Kavod Abriyos is not an issue and you just go with the Ratzon Hashem? Let's say you have an avel buried his relative, and they're going back from the burial, and there are two roads that they could take. Achas tahara v'achas tamei. One of them is tahara, one of them is tamei. Ba b'tahara, ba nima b'tahara. If the avel is going in the tahara road, go with him on the tahara road. Ba b'tamei. But if the avel is going on the tamei road, then you should go with him on the tamei road as well. So apparently, we're talking about a kohen or someone who's not allowed to become tamei, and we're saying that let him go become tamei. Why? Mishum kvodo, for the kavod of the avel. Now, if the avel's going to be walking all alone on the tamei road, if that's the path that he's taking, you walk with the avel. That's the minhag. That's what we do at the end of a funeral. So says Gemara, my lemein chachmein tzvunel neged Hashem. Whatever happened to this rule that forget about people's kavod? You have to worry about Hashem's kavod. Says Gemara, Tigrum Rabbi Abba Bebeis Hapras Rabbanon. So no, the case that we're dealing with is a Beis HaPras to Rabbanan, which means Beis HaPras, there are two definitions of Beis HaPras in Shas. There's Sada Sheneevad Ba'Kever and Sada Shenechrash Ba'Kever. If you have a Kever that was in a field, and either one definition is that field was plowed up to the point that the dead body's bones were thrown all around that field, and you don't know in any given location, any step you take, whether there's an Etzem Kasa'ora that you're touching of the dead body, so that's that. So the Chacham Mor goes with that the entire area has Tumah Midrabanan. Midaraisa doesn't have anything because you don't see anything, so you don't know of any Tumah in that spot. Midrabanan, there goes with the entire field Tumah. The other case is Sadash Nevad Bakever. You know that once there was a body buried over here, you just can't find it. You have no idea where it was buried. So the Chacham Mor goes with the entire field has a din of Tumah Midrabanan. So those are both types of Tumas Midrabanan. So what are we saying over here? That yeah, it's true. Ein chachm vein tevuna vein etzel neged Hashem, even in the place of Kavod HaBrios, except if it's only an Issur D'Rabbanan. So what emerges is, Kavod HaBrios beats out an Issur D'Rabbanan. Doesn't beat an Issur D'Oraisa, but it beats an Issur D'Rabbanan. And the Gemara goes on to say, next paragraph, Tashma, Dom Rav Lazar Tzadok, Medalgin Ayinu Al Gabe Aronu Shalmesim Likros Malchei Yisrael. They used to jump over dead bodies in order to go greet Jewish kings. And not only Jewish kings, it says, Afilu Malchei Yumas Ha'olam. Shem Yiske Yavkin Min Malchei Yisrael Malchei Yumas Ha'olam. The Gemara says there's a particular inyan, perhaps even mitzvah, to go greet a non-Jewish king. And what's the reason for it? So the Gemara says the reason is that we should one day come to appreciate the difference between the non-Jewish kings and the Jewish kings and their whole way of carrying themselves and their entourage and everything. So it's a good idea to go greet Malchei Umos Ha'olam. Amai, but why are you allowed to be metame yourself for that if you're a Kohen? Ein chachme ein tfune ein etzel neged Hashem. So the Gemara says, no, over there it's also only drabanan. Even though they were medalig al aronos, an aron is the coffin. The coffin, if there's a tefach of space between the body and the top of the coffin, that stops the tumah midaraisa. Midrabanan regoza that the coffin itself is even metame. So it's all tumah midrabanan. But midaraisa, it would have been usur to violate the usur of tumas kohen and midaraisa to go for the covet of the human being, the covet of the king, or the covet, right, the covet of the Jewish king, non-Jewish king, doesn't make a difference, it would have been usur. But since it's a drabanan, it's mutter. Good. So again, still the same yisod. We only have one exception to this rule that Hashem wins and Kavod HaBrios loses, and that exception is Yisurim D'Rabbanan. Another raya the Gemara says, Gadol Kavod HaBrios Shedoches Los Seisha B'Torah. The brisa, there's a brisa that tells us Kavod HaBrios is so important that it's Doche Los Seisha B'Torah. Whoa, that sounds like it's even Doche D'Oraisas. Says the Gemara, whatever I'm saying, Chachma and Tvuna and Etzel Neged Hashem, competing concepts over here, Kavod HaBrios versus Ein Chachma and Tvuna, says Gemara, Tir Gemara Rav Bar Shavah, Kamei Rav Kana, Belav De Lo Sasser. You know which Lo Sasser in the Torah we're talking about? Not any other Lo Sasser in the Torah. The Yisra of Lo Sasser. Lo Sasser is all Yisrim D'Rabbanan are included in Lo Sasser. They're not allowed to veer from what the rabbis tell you. Yemino Smol, right? You're not allowed to veer from anything that the rabbis tell you to do. So when we say that Kavod HaBrios is Doche Lo Seisha B'Torah, we really mean Kavod HaBrios is Doche Lo Sasser is Midrabbanan, but not really Lo Sasser is Minatorah. So the Gemara says at first, Achiku Alei, they laughed at that. What do you mean? Lo Sasser is real Yisra D'Oraisa. Then the Gemara says, no reason to laugh. Lo Sasser is code word for every Yisra D'Rabbanan. It's not really an Yisra D'Oraisa. So again, still so far, only one exception to the rule. And that exception is D'Rabbanans. Tashma, next Raya. Visalamta Mehem. Pasuk talks about doing the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. And in the context of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, the Chumash tells us it's important to see this in context, because it's obviously taken out of context when it says Visalamta Mehem, means you should hide your face from them. But you're not supposed to hide your face from giving tzedakah adrabah. You're supposed to give it. So with Perukh of Beis Pazagal from Parsh Kisetse, Lo Sira es Sharachicha O Eseo Nidachin Visalamta Mehem, rather Hashav Teshivim Lachicha. Meaning the context is, don't see somebody else's lost animal and wandering around and hide your face from it. No, rather Hashav Teshivim, you better return it. But the Gemara darshins, if you just take those two words, v'salamta mehem, it sounds like you're supposed to hide your face from it if you ignore the whole rest of the pasuk. So why would it phrase it in such a way where if you read just that phrase, it sounds like there's some point in time where you're supposed to be misalim? Very, very interesting study someone should do one time to figure out when the Gemara does this and when the Gemara doesn't do this. Every once in a while, the Gemara will take a phrase from the pasuk clearly out of context, not just out of context, the opposite of the context, and say, yeah, but you have to be able to cut off this phrase and it has to make sense independently. And other times, we don't do that. We say, no, if the pasuk makes sense, the pasuk makes sense. But apparently the Gemara was bothered by just, why would you phrase it as a salamta? It should have just started with, lo tisalim, mishar achicha, you know, or something like that. Just have the phrase, lo tisalim. What's v'salamta mehem? So, pamishat misalim mehem, pamishayinat misalim mehem. Okay, so sometimes you are supposed to hide your face from it. For instance, imhaya kohen v'ibibesakvaros. Let's say you're a kohen and the lost object is in a cemetery. So then v'salamta, you don't go into the cemetery to do a shavas aveda because you're not allowed to be matami yourself. Oh, haya zaken v'ena lefi kvoda. More important for our sugya, you're a zaken v'ena lefi kvoda. You're a big Rosh Yeshiva and someone lost, ladies' underwear. So you're not going to go pick it up in public and go walk around with that because it's going to look, even if you're not a big Rosh Yeshiva Mustama, it's probably v'ena lefi kvoda. We would all have a din, hopefully, of a zaken v'ena lefi kvoda for that kind of aveda, right? So you're not going to walk around with that. That's zaken v'ena lefi kvoda. So you don't have to go pick it up. You can let it sit there. If Zobos, you know, the tshuva about a big Rosh Yeshiva who found a tricycle. So does he have a chiv to go return the tricycle? Because for a big Rosh Yeshiva, walk around the street and with the tricycle may seem binyan. It may depend on the Rosh Yeshiva. I think I've mentioned to you in the past, Rav Lichtenstein likes to say that when he was learning in Chaim Berlin, he was trained in a certain way by Rav Huttner, that when you walked out of Rav Huttner's office, you had to back out. And if you didn't back out, if you didn't face him as you were backing out of his office, you turned your back to him, he wouldn't buzz you out. He had like a lock on the door. It would be like the door would be jammed. You had to show him the cover. You would never see Rav Huttner without full dignity. You know, you would never ever see him take out the garbage. And the first day Rav Lichtenstein was in Washington Heights in YU, he saw Rav Aaron Soloveitchik taking out the garbage, and he couldn't believe it. It was like such a difference. So it may depend on what sort of cover that particular Zaken is used to. But anyway, Zaken Ve'el Lefi Kvodo, you don't have to do HaShavas Aveda, and that's V'Salamta. Yeah, in that case, you actually can hide your face. The mitzvah of HaShavas Aveda is a mitzvah. What are you worried about? You don't cover the brios. There's a mitzvah Doraisa. Here it's Doraisa. HaShavas Aveda is clearly Doraisa. Says Gemara, V'Salamta Mehem. It says V'Salamta Mehem. So, that's an exception to the rule. So HaShavas Aveda is an exception to the rule. Says the Gemara, okay, but generally when there's one exception, it's not just one exception. Usually the exception is a paradigm. We say Mematzinu Binyanav, and we learn from that exception to apply it everywhere else also. Meaning if the Torah tells me in one place that Kavod Abrios beats a mitzvah daraisa, so we should apply that to every mitzvah daraisa. Kavod Abrios should always beat a mitzvah daraisa. Answers the Gemara, Isurum Mimamon Leol Finan. You're right. We do learn from HaShavas Aveda that Kavod Abrios beats a mitzvah daraisa when it relates to money. But when it relates to Issa V'Heter, Kavod Abrios does not beat a mitzvah daraisa. So therein lies our second exception. What's the second exception? When it's a din and mamonous issue. When it's purely an issue of mamon, Kavod Abrios wins, Ein Chachmei Tzvuna V'Neitzel Neged Hashem loses. So far two exceptions. One, when it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. Two, even if it's an Issa daraisa, but it's an issue in din and mamonous. Tashma, the Gemara says, Vaiter. In the parsha of a Nazir, the Torah tells us Nazir is not allowed to become Tamei to anybody, not even those Krovim that a Kohen is allowed to become Tamei to. A Nazir may not become Tamei to those Krovim, and the Torah spells out the different relatives. So why does it have to say his sister? I know, his father, his mother, I know what the relatives are. That's spelled out each one. Says Gemara, let's say a guy is going to go bring his Korban Pesach to Mala's child, and he hears that someone died, Yochel Yachzer V'Yitma, I might think that he has to go back and become Tamei, Amrit Lo Yitama. Yochel K'shem Sheinu Matamei Lehem, Kachin Matamei L'Meis Mitzvah, I might think he also shouldn't be Matamei to Meis Mitzvah, but it's going to ruin his chances to bring his Korban Pesach, Tamalomer U'lachoso, L'achoso U'deinu Matamei Av Matamei L'Meis Mitzvah. Can't be mitami to his sister, but a meis mitzvah he can be mitami to. Amai lemein chachmein tvuna veneitzel neged Hashem. How can a nazir become? How can a guy who's going to bring his korban pesach become tami to a meis mitzvah? He's got a mitzvah to do. Being tami to a meis mitzvah is the din of kavod abrios. You're showing the kavod of Brios, to the mace. Well, why are you doing the Kavod of Brios? You have a mitzvah to do, mitzvah d'oraisa of Korban Pesach. And this is not a Dinim Omnis issue. So it's d'oraisa, it's not Dinim Omnis, doesn't fit any of the exceptions. Kavod of Brios should not win. Why does it win? Answers the Gemara, Shani Yasim Duxiv Achoso. Yeah, because Xeris Akosiv, that's an exception. Same Kasha, Ligmar Mina. Why don't we learn from that exception? See, here's the third exception. Shevi Altas HaShaini. No, we can't learn from there to everywhere else, because that case is unique in that your violation of the Dinda Oraisa, of the non-Dinei Mamanis Dinda Oraisa, is going to be done passively. Whenever your violation of the Avera is going to be done passively, Kavod HaBrios beats out a passive violation of an Avera. So when all the dust settles at the end of the Sugya, when you read through the entire Gemara, Kavod HaBrios loses to Ratzon Hashem, except for three cases. Number one, if the Ratzon Hashem is only a Din Rabbanan. Number two, if the Ratzon Hashem is a Din in Dinim Mamanis. And number three, if the Ratzon Hashem is violated in a passive way, not in an active way. Good, that is the Sugya. So, Tosfos and Rashi deal with the following question. The Sugya never went back to discussing what about the Nazir. The Nazir becoming Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah is an active violation of Ratzon Hashem. So why is the Nazir and the Kohen ever allowed to be Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah? That's an active violation of their din. The din is that they're not allowed to become Tamei. So why should they be allowed to become Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah just for the Kavod HaBrios? It's not passive, it's an active. When I'm just failing to bring my Korban Pesach because I'm too busy with the Meis Mitzvah, so I'm passively not bringing my Korban Pesach. But if I'm a Kohen, I'm a Nazir, and I'm dealing with the Meis Mitzvah, I'm actively becoming Tamei. So Mehechi Tesi, why is he allowed to do that? So that both Rashi and Tosfos deal with. Rashi writes, yeah, the Nazir and the Kohen, Meis Mitzvah is different. Meis Mitzvah, it's not Stam that he's allowed to violate the Isra of becoming Tamei for the sake of Meis Mitzvah. No, it's that there is no Isra of becoming Tamei to a Meis Mitzvah. It's simply not part of the Shem Isra. The Isra for a Kohen Nazir to become Tamei is not don't become Tamei to a dead body. It's don't become Tamei to any dead body other than a Meis Mitzvah. Meis Mitzvah was simply never included in the Isra. That's how Rashi seems to understand. Tosfos, however, seems to say differently. If you look at Tosfos, Vimtoma in source number 3, Vimtoma Nazir becoming Gadol, Kumaseu di Yitmal Meis. For the sake of Kavod HaBrios, they're actively becoming Tamei to a Meis. V'tirits Rashi, Dekrag Galilan, Delav, Delo Yitam, Elo Nemar, Gabi Meis Mitzvah. He says, Rashi says it was never included in the Yisra at all. V'loni here, I don't think that's correct, says Tosfos. Dimkein, Kol Makom Damrin, Shasei, Docholos, Hasei, Likri, Shevi, Altase, Vekari, Le Dechia, Emeshenu, Dechia, Dasam, Lo Nemar, Alav. Meaning, anytime you have Hasei, Docholos, Hasei, we should always say, what do you mean it's Hasei, Docholos, Hasei? It's not Docha, Docholos, Hasei. There is no Lav. It just doesn't exist. There is no Los Hasei. So, Va'od, Amila, V'tamir, Pesach, the Docha, Shabbos, Kamir, Paragel, Dvarim, Alma, Mikri, Shapir, fine. Elenira, Diminazir lo garminan, demalinazir shekin yeshno b'sheila, v'chein mikoin l'koin shekin lav sheino shav b'kol. Says Tosfos, the real reason that a nazir and a kohen are allowed to become tamei to a meis mitzvah, even though it's a blatant violation of an iser d'oraisa that's not dinim amunis, and it's kumvase, so it doesn't meet any of the three criteria, they're allowed to become tamei to the meis mitzvah for the sake of kavod HaBrios, is that their iser is a fairly light iser. It's not the same as the Isser to fail to bring a Korban Pesach. Failure to bring Korban Pesach is an Isser on all of Klal Yisrael. It's an Isser Kares for all of Klal Yisrael. For a Nazir to become Tamei is not such a terrible Isser. The Raya that it's not, I don't mean it's not like okay, but it's not at the same Madrega of Isser. And the Raya is that a Nazir could end his Nazirus. He could be Shoel on the Nazirus, undo his Nazirus with Mafreya, and it will turn out that he was never a Nazir to begin with. So since it's such a fragile thing, his state of Nazirus itself is such a fragile state of being, so therefore we don't take that Isser so seriously to allow it to beat out Kavod HaBrios. We take this seriously, but when Kavod HaBrios competes with it, so essentially what Tosfos is doing is giving us a fourth exception. Right? He's telling us Kavod HaBrios wins when it's a Drabanan, when it's Dinim Mamanis, when it's Shevi Altaseh, or when it's a very fragile kind of Isser. A kind of Isser that's not that like Nazir, where it could just go away, or like Kohen, which doesn't apply to everybody, is only for a select group of people. It's Lav She'enu Shava Bakal, since it's only for a select group of people, tells you something that it's a more fragile kind of Isser. a little harder to understand what the Svara is by the Kohen than it is by the Nazir. By the Nazir, you can say, okay, let him just undo his Nazirus and he won't be a Nazir. So maybe he's not even violating anything, right? There's always a chance he's not violating anything. But by the Kohen, Adrabah, I would think because it's for a smaller group of people, maybe that makes it more important that, you know, these are special people. Yeah.
What is it about the fact that he's a special group, Kohen is a special group, that makes him be able to do Kavod Abrios?
Yeah, that's what I was just asking. I don't know. I mean, that's exactly what I'm struggling with.
Even more than that, does that only apply to a Mace Mitzvah? It seems like for a Kohen, he should be able to do any...
You'd have to say it's Dafka, the Kavod Abrios of a Mace Mitzvah, where there's no one else to deal with it. Mace Mitzvah would be defined as no one else to deal with it. The Gemara defines Mace Mitzvah as they call out and no one answers. Like they say, any relatives, anybody know this guy? And no one responds, and no one's taking care of it. So that's that's a significant Kavod Abrios. It's a big Kavod Abrios.
What I'm saying is that since a Kohen is special, is different, then he could, for Kavod Abrios issues, for any number of things, any other besides for a Mace Mitzvah, he should be able to be Doche, in the Torah, let's say, or something like that, because he's a...
Okay, it would have to be a kind of Kavod Abrios that's up there with Mace Mitzvah. Meaning we're dealing with a scale over here. We're saying how bad is the Avera of whatever it is he's violating, and how serious is the Kavod Abrios that we're allowing him to violate for. Okay, good. So there are three, possibly four exceptions to this rule. So if you take a look at the Rush, both here and in Maseches Nida, because in Maseches Nida he has all discussion of the halachas of kilei begadim, the halachas of shatnis. The Rush writes, Amar Avido Marav, Hamotzi klayim bebigdo, you find klayim in your own beged, Poshtav afilu b'shuk, you remove the beged even if you're out in public, Shneamar in chachm vein tvun vein etzel neged Hashem, kol makom sheish chil Hashem in chol kan kavol l'rav. Fine, whenever there's chil Hashem, we're not chol kavol l'rav. Now, if you look in Maseches Nida, he goes into a little more elaboration, a little more detail. And he goes on to say, if you look in the last few lines over there, Rabbi Ami of Yosef Masni, Rabbi Ami was sitting and learning. Amar chad lechavrei at lovish klayim. One guy said to the other, "Hey, you're wearing shatnez. You got that skirt in?" And he says, or "Whatever, right? You're wearing shatnez." So Amar le Rabbi Ami shlof manech vahavle. Take off your own clothing and give it to him. Meaning you don't like that he's wearing shatnez. Take off your clothing and you give it to him. So v'sav Rabbi Ami kamar d'shari. Either he held that whatever kind of shatness it was mutter, or in the base medrash is mutter, whatever it was. I don't really understand what that means. But somehow Rabbi Ami held it was mutter. Inami beklaim drabanan, or maybe it was only shatness drabanan. That's why he held they didn't have to tell him. Inami beklaim d'oraisa vaday hamotze klaim bebigdo in chachmein tvim negel Hashem etzarach l'poshu afil b'shok. Avlam adam roa klaim bebigde chaveirav v'alovish klaim eni yodeya. Says the Rosh, a very important chiluk. Why did he tell him to take off your clothing and give it to the other guy, which is essentially his musar? You shouldn't have told him anything. Why are you telling him that he's wearing shatnez? So, first two answers, okay, either it was mutter, it was only klaim drabanan. Klaim drabanan, we already had that in the Gemara. Good, Kavod Abrios would beat out klaim drabanan. But what's his third answer? When you find it on your own clothing, yeah, that's when you need to take it off. Even if it's klayim d'oraisa, you have to take it off. When it's klayim d'oraisa, you have to take it off your own clothing. You find it in someone else's clothing, even if it's klayim d'oraisa, you don't have to tell him. Why? Why, if it's on somebody else, do you not have to tell him when it's klayim d'oraisa? He's violating the isser of shatnes mid'oraisa. Which is more important? The isser d'oraisa that's not a dinim amanus isser, and it's being violated b'kum vaseh. Right? The guy's wearing it constantly. So that's assumed to be a kumbase. His continuing to wear it is considered a kumbase in halacha. I don't want to get into all the shatnez sugis, but if you go through the sugis and shas, that's considered a kumbase in halacha. Right? He's continuing to wear this beged. So it doesn't fit any of the exceptions. But because it's on him, it's not my problem. So all of a sudden, it's okay. Mechitesi. Right? It's like, what do they call minor surgery? Surgery on somebody else. So what's a minor isser when it's his? It's his isser. So why does it bother me? What kind of attitude is that?
So it seems from the end of the Rush that it has to do with the fact that it's amazing.
Very good. So the Rush gives it away. Right? The Rush, at first he sounds like he's going in a different direction, but then he tells you no. The reason is because if the other guy doesn't realize that he's wearing it, he's a shogeg. And since he's a shogeg, So an Isser b'shogeg essentially is a fifth exception. Meaning, when else does Kavod HaBrios, when else does Kavod HaBrios win? When the Aver is only an Aver b'shogeg. Now, what kind of exception is this? It would seem that this is, it's a fifth exception, but it's along the lines of the exception of the Rabbanan, the exception of the Kohen, where a Nazir, where it's a lesser Isser. Meaning the exception is simply that we're and even Shevi Altasa, right, where it's a lesser Isser. All of these exceptions are exceptions where we're just showing that these are lower. Mammon and Isser maybe has nothing to do with lesser, just different. But with most of these exceptions, four out of the five, we can say that the reason for the exception, the reason Kavod HaBrios beats these Isurim, is because these Isurim are not the most intense Isurim. They're lower level Isurim. So the Rosh is giving you another exception. He's telling you that Shogeg is an exception to the rule, that Kavod HaBrios beats out any Isser Da'oraisa, even as long as it's done b'shogeg. And that's how the Smag understands as well. Take a look at the Rambam. Source number 7. Hilchos Klaim Perakid Alech Chavtes. Haroa Klaim Shel Torah Al Chaveru. A person sees Shatnis Mida'oraisa on somebody else. Afilu Hayimahalich B'shok. Even if he's walking in the public square. Kofetz Lo V'Korol Amiyad. You jump on him and you rip it right off him immediately. Why immediately? Because every second that he's wearing shatnez is another issur. So you mug him, just rip his clothing right off. V'afilu hayo rabo shalom do chachma. Even if he's your rebbe, just as a warning, I do shatnez check all my clothing. So v'afilu hayo rabo shalom do chachma. Even if he's your rebbe, you taught you chachma. Shein kavod HaBrios doche issur lo seyam furish b'torah. Kavod HaBrios is not doche any explicit averus in the Torah. V'lama nidcha b'hashev aveda. Why is it doche hashavas aveda? News, what's Rambam going to say? Why is hashavas aveda an exception? Because hashavas aveda is mamon mipnei shu lav shel mamon. V'lama nidcha b'tumas meis. Because we learn achoso versus meis mitzvah. Fine, we learn a separate din over there. So says the Rambam very clearly. You see shatnis. And at the end, l'fichach mayol of shatnis shel divrehem. Let's say it was only shatnes midrabanan, eno korol of b'shuk, eno poshul b'shuk atcher megel abeis of ma'ishal torah poshul miyad. Whether it's on you or somebody else, you don't have to take it off. You don't have to take it off yourself or somebody else if it's only shatnes midrabanan, because Kavod HaBrios beats out isur midrabanan. So if it's only shatnes midrabanan, that fits another one of the exceptions. Good. So if it's only midrabanan, it wouldn't be a problem. I thought that was probably what the Rebbetzin's kula was in this case. When the Rebbetzin in the shul tells you you're wearing something that's checked for shatnes. Very, very rarely, I would imagine it's very, very rare that we actually have real legitimate shatnez midaraisa. Because for something to be shatnez midaraisa, you need shua tavo v'noz. You need it to be to actually have individual threads of shatnez that are spun together with linen and wool. Each thread spun together and then sewn into the garment together. So that's unlikely. Normally the way we have shatnez is you have a linen thread that's sewn into a wool garment or something like that. Or a wool linen lining inside sewn into a wool garment. You very rarely have threads that are made up of both wool and linen together. Yeah.
Is there an implication in the Rambam that if it's a losa say that's not referred to in the Torah? Or a deraisa in general that's not referred to in the Torah, then that would be another exception?
Well, where is your diuk from? Where is
because the second line.
Shein Kavod HaBrios doche isur losa se hamafurash b'torah. It's an interesting diuk. Kavod HaBrios can't beat out a losa se hamafurash b'torah. So I hear the diuk very much. Meaning, we know that there are differences between things. I think we just discussed last week a little bit about some of the differences between those isurim that are mafurish in the Torah and those that are not. But it could be that the Rambam's setting up his kasha, because he then asks. Hashavas Aveda is a mitzvah mufurish in the Torah. So how come Kavod HaBrios beats out Hashavas Aveda? So it could be that he's setting up his kasha, that normally Kavod HaBrios doesn't beat a mitzvah mufurish in the Torah, but Hashavas Aveda is mufurish in the Torah, and Kavod HaBrios does beat it. Okay, because Hashavas Aveda is Dine Mamet. How do we paskin? How do we paskin Rambam and Rash? Look in the Shulchan Aruch, source number 10. Haroa Klaim Shel Torah Al Chaveru. Person sees Shatnis Midaraisa on somebody else. Afilu haye mahalich b'shuk haye kofetz lo v'korol lo miyad v'afilu haye rabo. You jump on him, you rip it right off, even if he's your rebbe. Chaber Paskins, not surprisingly, like the Rambam, right? V'yei shomrim, I think this is from the Rama. I don't have the original here. I think I just made all the font the same, but I think this is the Rama. Dim haya halove shogeg ain't sarich likroa. It should be b'shuk. You don't have to tear it off him in the marketplace or lahavshit. Dim yishum kavod abrios yishtok valiyah frishenu mishogeg. For kavod abrios, be quiet. Don't stop. Don't. You don't have to make him refrain from. You don't have to make him suffer. Make his dignity suffer just to get him to refrain from doing an avera b'shogeg. Good. That's the Rama. And the Mechaber then adds, if it's only nisid rabbanan, certainly you don't rip it off. So for us, we would say that if you see it on that the Rebbetzin who sees the other Rebbetzin with the shatnez skirt is not supposed to say, "Hey, I bought that same skirt and it has shatnez." She's not supposed to say that because. Cover abrios. The person's violating b'shogeg. Call them after yontif and tell them, you know, you should get that skirt checked for shatnez, or go over to their house after they're already home. But not to say it in a public place. But if you're the one that heard it and you know that it's d'oraisa and it's already been told to you and you discover it mid'oraisa on yourself, you would have to take it off, right? Even according to the Rama, you would have to remove it if it were shatnez mid'oraisa, even in a very public place. I was wondering, like, for a woman, would it be different? Because there's a significant issue of lifnei iver, of causing hirhurim and other people seeing her, and a terrible breach of tzinius and things like that. So it's not just kavod abrios, it's more there are other isurim in play. Like, kavod abrios would be, let's say, for a man to remove his shirt in public would be a kavod abrios. If it's, someone who normally, like a normal person, normally walks around with a shirt on, so it's maybe it would be a lack of kavod abrios in that way, but maybe that case of the woman would be different. What's the lumdus, the difference between the Rambam and the Rush? So just one quick bit of lumdus before we get into the sum of the halach lemaisa. So the sefer that I quoted last time, Mareshes Moshe on Maseches Brachos, says very nicely, he says, according to the Rush, why is there a chilek between whether you're wearing it, whether someone else is wearing it? So it's like we said before, because there's a chilek between shogeg and mezid. Why is there a chilek between shogeg and mezid? So he says, it all depends on how do you understand the notion that kavod abrios does not beat out a los haseh shabbatorah. Why is it that a los haseh shabbatorah is stronger than kavod abrios, stronger than human dignity? Is it because los haseh shabbatorah is just so strong that a los haseh shabbatorah is just bigger than kavod abrios? In which case, if it's Los Seisha B'Torah, so why does it matter whether it's Shogeg or Mezid? It's bigger than Kavod Abrios. So he says, no, it could be that according to the Rush, the reason Los Seisha B'Torah beats out Kavod Abrios is because it's not that the Los Seisha B'Torah itself is stronger than Kavod Abrios, it's that there's an inherent Chilul Hashem in violating Los Seisha B'Torah. There's a certain Madrega of Chilul Hashem in a blatant violation of a Los Seisha B'Torah. But maybe when the violation is B'Shogeg, the Chilul Hashem is brought down a notch. So mitam it being a los haseh, that's not enough to push off kavod abrios. Just something being a los haseh. Haraya shevi al taseh is a los haseh also, right? You could violate los haseh b'shevi al taseh. You could violate los haseh in ways that kavod abrios beats. So apparently, the fact that something's a los haseh is not enough to make it beat out kavod abrios. What is it? It's the chilul Hashem that goes along with it. So that's why when it's that's the way the Rush will understand. Why is it when it's Shevi Al Taseh, Kavod Abrios will win? Because yes, it's a Los Haseh Shabbatorah, but when you're violating Shevi Al Taseh, it's not a Chilul Hashem. It's not as much of a Chilul Hashem because you're not doing anything active to violate the Avera. So middle, there's no Chilul Hashem involved. When you violate B'Shogeg, it could be a much lower level Chilul Hashem. And since it's a much lower level Chilul Hashem, and where does he get this from? Pulls this out of thin air that it all depends on Chilul Hashem. Where does he get it from? What does the Gemara say? We're worried about the competition between Kavod Abrios and what? What's the competing concept? Ein Chachmei Tvuna Ein Eitzel Neged Hashem. That's a pasuk about Chilul Hashem. So he says the whole issue is a Chilul Hashem issue. It's Chilul Hashem versus Kavod Abrios. So the Rush says when it's a shogeg, it's less of a Chilul Hashem, so it's not going to be a problem. The Rambam apparently holds, and no, the Etzim HaIsser is going to be stronger than any Kavod Abrios. The reason Kavod Abrios is not Docha Los Seisha B'Torah is because Isurim D'Oraisa are that serious. Isurim D'Oraisa are more important than human dignity. What about Shevi Al Taseh? Well, we know that's a lower level Isur D'Oraisa. Not it's not because it's a lower level Chol Hashem, it's a lower level Isur D'Oraisa. How do I know Shevi Al Taseh is a lower level Isur D'Oraisa? Because Chacham Maroker Yisrim Daraisa B'Shevi Al Taseh. Chum have Rishus to be Yoker Mitzvah Daraisa B'Shevi Al Taseh, but not B'Kum Vaseh. So you see that it's a lower level. And in fact, Rashi gives us a whole Megillah over here about how why Shevi Al Taseh different. And he starts telling us about the Rishus of the Chum to be Yoker Davar Torah B'Shevi Al Taseh. What does that have to do with anything? According to the Rashi, it has nothing to do with anything. Right? We don't care about the Rishus of the, it's just that it's a lower level Chol Hashem. So it has nothing to do with being Oker. Which according to the Rambam, no, it's a lower level Isser. And because it's a lower level Isser, Kavod Rabbi is able to be Docha. But when it's a regular Isser Daraisa, a regular Isser Daraisa, Shogeg Meiz, it doesn't matter. But a regular Isser Daraisa is going to be Docha, Kavod Rabbi. So that's how he understands the Nekudas HaMachlokes between the Rosh and the Rambam. Before we get into halachic applications, one other Nekuda. Rav Moshe, I just came across this tshuva yesterday in Yardei Chelek Aleph Sim Reish Mem Tes. Rav Moshe was asked about a Kohen who's going to bury a relative of his, let's say his father. He's going to bury his father, and along the way of burying his father, he's going to have to come within Dalet Amos of other Kvarim. He's going to have to be Metame to other Kvarim. Is he allowed to do that? You know he's allowed to be Metame to his father, but can he be Metame to other Kvarim as well while he's becoming Metame to his father? So is the and so the question is it a lack of kavod abrios to not do it, to not be metame to his father, to skip out on the so is it, would we say that it's docha that lo sasei shabbatorah? That's part of the issue of the kavod abrios. So we're not going to get into the whole discussion, but in the course of that discussion, I just took out one paragraph from the tshuva in source number 12. You look in the second line, says Rav Moshe, what is kavod abrios? Is kavod abrios failure to show kavod? Or is Kavod HaBrios only suffering bizayim, trying to avoid suffering bizayim? Meaning, let's say you want to show Kavod, but it's not going to be a bizayim if you don't do it. So would you still have the heter of Kavod HaBrios? It's hard to know, right? Says Rav Moshe, Aval Mashma Pashut, the heter b'shvil Kavod HaBrios hu rak ba'ofen shu bizayim kahad delifshot b'gad b'shut b'motzi klayim. It's definitely got to be a case where it's a bizayim. Kavod HaBrios means where otherwise you're going to suffer bizayim. And that's why the classic example in the Gemara is where you have to take off your clothing in public. That's a bizayim, that's not just a lack of kavod. It's not where you have to take off your tuxedo, tie, and cummerbund in public. It's where you have to, right? It's where you have to take off your clothing in public. That's bizayim, not just that you're not going to have the proper dignity. V'chein tzarech lomar b'hada avel b'b'tmeya, b'animo b'tmeya, mishum kvodo, shayizah bizayim l'avel. So he said, what about the other one? What about the case of the avel going down the Tameh road, and you're allowed to walk down the Tameh road with him? That's bizayim, or is that just lack of kavod? So says Rav Moshe, it's bizayim. To have an avel walking alone is a bizayim. It's not just lack of kavod. What about the king? I'm not going to go show kavod to the king. That's bizayon? Yeah, because if the king, if the whole city doesn't come out, it's a bizayon to the king. Because if the whole city doesn't come out for a normal person, it's not a bizayon. It's just a great show of kavod to a normal person. When you're dealing with the king, the expectation is that the whole city empties out to go to greet the king. And anything short of that is bizayon. It's news when someone doesn't come out to greet the king. So that's how Rav Moshe defines kavod HaBrios. Now let's get into some of the tshuvas halacha l'maisa. Some very fascinating stuff. Nod b'Yehuda madura kama orchaim esim laman hey. Probably, I would guess, the most famous tshuva the Nod b'Yehuda ever wrote, the most well-known tshuva the Nod b'Yehuda ever wrote. I remember when I discovered this tshuva, I was about your age, I guess. I was going to pick up my wife. We were supposed to go somewhere. We weren't married yet. We were almost engaged. And I came like an hour early or something because I mistimed the traffic to Edison, New Jersey. So I went to the shul to learn a little bit because I didn't want to show up an hour early. So I pulled the Nod B'Yehuda off the shelf and I just figured I'll start reading tshuvas. And I opened up to this tshuva in Siman Lamed Hey, and I'm like, I got to read more Nod B'Yehudas. This is awesome. So I got very into Nod B'Yehudas. So the Nod B'Yehuda in Arachai Madur Kama Siman Lamed Hey, very important tshuva for two reasons. One is it's the tshuva in the Kavod HaBrios Sugya. And the other is that it's the tshuva in the sugya of how to do tshuva. The shaila was as follows. I'm sure many of you are familiar. I'll just say it in brief. There was a yeshiva bacher who was learning in a yeshiva, and the way the yeshivas used to work in those days was they didn't have dormitories. I think Chachmi Lublin was the first yeshiva that ever had a dorm. Prior to that, you would just stay in the neighborhood. They'd put you up at different people's homes. So they were staying, the yeshiva bach was staying in the house of a very nice, well-respected from family in the neighborhood. And while he was staying in their house, he was having an ongoing affair with the woman of the house, with the woman living in the house, Nashus Ish, for a period of about 3 years. At some point, he fell in love with their daughter, and he got engaged to marry their daughter, and now the man whose wife he had been sleeping with for 3 years is about to become his father-in-law, and the woman who he was sleeping with for 3 years is about to become his mother-in-law. And he wanted to know, does he wants to do tshuva? So he wants to know two things. First of all, how do I do tshuva for this? It's a good one, right? It's a doozy. How do you do tshuva for something like that? And number two, he said, and he said, by the way, when you prescribe a program of tshuva, keep in mind, I'm a yeshiva bachar, I learn 24 hours a day, so like I'm very weak, I can't really handle so many fasts, so go easy on me, please. So he's a piece of work, yeah. So the second part of the shaila is, or what seems like the more, you know, the crux of the shaila is, do I have to tell my future father-in-law that his wife is asur to him? Because if a woman cheats on her husband, she's asur labayla. Right, if the man cheats on his wife, so she's allowed to forgive him, they're not asur to each other. A woman cheats on her husband, she's asur labayla. So do I have an achrayus to tell him that, and this is very, this tshuva is quoted a lot in contemporary literature, psychologists and rabbanim sometimes have this issue, where in confidence, a woman will tell the psychologist, the frum psychologist, yeah, I don't go to the mikvah, and my husband doesn't know that, or I cheated on my husband and he doesn't. So to what extent does the psychologist have an obligation, even though he may lose his license over something like this? Because confidentiality is a very big deal. So this is a, in rabbinic confidentiality, it was a Supreme Court, I think it went almost, I don't remember where it went, I don't know, all the way, it went pretty far in the court system. You know, the case we had locally with some of the local rabbanim that felt they needed to breach the confidentiality and tell the husband that the wife wasn't going to the mikveh. So they won, the rabbanim won in the end of the day, that there isn't assumed confidentiality in that case to, what?
It's like First Amendment.
Yeah, I think it's because I don't know the halamdas, but I'm assuming it's somewhat based on the fact that when you're going to a rabbi, you have to assume that the rabbi is going to be governed by religious principles. So the religious principle is you can't allow this man to be with his wife if she's not going to the mikvah. So so anyway, the shaila was, do I have to tell my father-in-law? So why wouldn't you have to tell him? Of course you have to tell him. He's violating this daraisa every single time he sleeps with his wife. So what's the shaila? He says, cover of brios. It's going to be a terrible cover of brios to me because it's going to be very humiliating to have to tell my father-in-law that I've been sleeping with his wife for the last 3 years. And it's also, you know, word's going to get out. It's going to be very ugly. And they're a very respected family. And right now, they're blissfully ignorant of, you know, any of these issues. Let them go on living. And everything will be fine. They'll make a nice chasana. I'm not going to sleep with my mother-in-law anymore. I'll live happily ever after with the daughter. And everything will be wonderful. So, but now, if I tell them, so then it's going to cause a tremendous hit to the family's dignity. So what's the halacha? So says Noid Yehuda, that's exactly the machlokas Rambam and the Rosh and Brachos Daf Yotes. Why is it exactly the machlokas Rambam and the Rosh? When is Kavanah Brios Docha Lo Seisha B'Torah? What are the exceptions? Let's go down the list again. Exception number one, nice throw. Exception number one, was something I said? Exception number one, when is Kavanah Brios Docha Lo Seisha B'Torah? When does Kavanah Brios win? No? Give me the exceptions. Either. Well, everyone's spoken once now. Okay. Mamon, this is not a dinim mamonis issue, so this would not be an exception. What else? Drabanan? Is this a drabanan? No, this is clearly a daraisa. Sleeping with your wife after she slept with someone else is daraisa. She's a surah labal and labal to nisa daraisa. What else? Shevi al tasa. Okay, that it says in the Gemara. The Shevi al tasa is going to be an exception to the rule. So now, is this Shevi al tasa? Is this Shevi al tasa? Do you violate? So, what's our classic example? I'm wearing shatnez, right? My own shatnez. Now, shevi al tasa would mean it's kumvase for me to continue wearing it. So I can't continue wearing it. I have to take it off. What would be the shevi al tasa case? What was the case of shevi al tasa in the Gemara? Not bringing my korban pesach. So I have to save someone's human dignity rather than fail to bring my korban pesach. Good? According to the Rambam. Well, okay, even before that. Is this Shevi Al Tasa? So, no, what are you tying now? The guy not telling the father-in-law, and therefore allowing the father-in-law to violate the issue, is a Shevi Al Tasa. Oh, so it all depends in regards to who? In regards to the person doing the issue, or in regards to the person who's asking the Shaila, do I have to tell or not tell? In regards to the person who's asking the Shaila, do I have to tell or not tell? Well, then it's definitely Shevi Al Tasa. Shevi Al Tasa says, don't tell. Covenant of Brios will be violated. Don't tell. Shevi al tasa. In regards to the person doing the iser, it's clearly kumvasei. Every time he sleeps with his wife, it's a violation of kumvasei. Says the Nadi Yehuda, that's exactly the machlokas Rambam and the Rash. Because they, what's their machlokas? If I see shatness on somebody else. So the Rush says, don't rip it off of somebody else. Well, why not? Why don't I have to rip it off of somebody else? Maybe it's because it's Shevi Al Tasa. Since it's Shevi Al Tasa, I don't have to rip it off somebody else. How's it Shevi Al Tasa? He's wearing shatness. The Kumvasei is wearing shatness. No, by me not saying anything, it's Shevi Al Tasa. Says the Rambam, mug the guy, jump on him, rip his clothing off. Why? Because he's in violation, become vasei. He's in continual violation, become vasei. Now, that assumes a certain understanding of the Rush that we didn't assume. What was the reason the Rush said, you're allowed to let it go? Because it's Shevi Altase? He didn't say. He said because it's Bishogeg, not because it's Bishevi Altase. And, furthermore... Well... Oh, good. So over here, right, you'd have the same heter, but he's using the wrong, right? You would say the husband is shogeg when he sleeps with his wife, right? He doesn't know. And therefore the rush would still work, right? But not because of Shevi Al Tasa, but because of shogeg. Good?
Yeah, but it's also for the wife as well.
Oh, good. We'll get to that in a second. We'll get to the wife in a second. One second.
Still
yeah?
Be obligated to tell the person later after they get home or whatever, so it wouldn't be...
Also a good point, we'll get to that. Remind me if I don't get to it. We'll get to that in a second too. One other thing. We discussed over here, why is it that Kavod HaBrios sometimes beats these other Isurim? Is it because Kavod HaBrios is stronger than these other Isurim? Or is it because of something else, of some sort of Chil Hashem involved? Right? The analysis of the Nadav Yehuda, where we're assuming that Shevi Al Tasa could be not only on the person doing the Isser, but Shevi Al Tasa is even on the person deciding whether to tell the guy about the Isser, clearly assumes Shevi Al Tasa has nothing to do with the severity of the Isser. Because if it was about the severity of the Isser, right, it makes no difference whether I'm Shevi Al Tasa, the guy that's doing the Isser is doing it because of Asay. So his iser is every bit as severe as it was. Just because I'm Shevi Al Tasa, that doesn't change the severity of the iser. Right? So the Nadav Yehuda is clearly understanding that it's not about the severity of the iser. Now, in terms of your point first, Perlich's point first about, what about the woman? So the Nadav Yehuda thought of that. And he says, what about the woman? She's doing it, b'mezid, it's not b'shogeg. Right? She's doing it b'mezid. She knows she slept with this guy, and she's being machshil her husband, an iser of lifnei iver. So says Nadav Yehuda, you could assume most women don't know the halacha. Unbelievable. He says, "V'af sheyesh makom lomar shegam ledas harav rabbeinu Asher mechuyev lahodia kedei sheyigarish es eshto kedei lemnoa isha me'avera." Even according to the Rush, you would say that you'd have to let the guy know so that you could stop the woman from doing the avera. Sharei he yodas shezin sova averus yoshev estachos bailo. She knows full well. Mikol makom yesh lomar dinashi lav dina gemiri. Women don't know the halacha so well. Ve'eno yoda'as shenesra labal. Maybe she doesn't know that she becomes asur to her husband when she sleeps with her future son-in-law. Ve'omer mutter lo gar al kol panim shogeg. And if you think it's mutter, that's no worse than a shogeg. So maybe that counts as if she did the aver b'shogeg, as if she's doing the aver b'shogeg when she sleeps with her husband, because she has no idea. She thinks it's mutter for her to... Right, this is Omer Mutter. Not that she thought it was Mutter to sleep with the son-in-law, she knew that was wrong, but she thinks it's Mutter now that she's done it to go back to her husband. She doesn't know that that's Asir. So, now, if that's the whole Lumbus, if this Shiloh were asked today, with our educational system that we have in place for girls, this Chazaka would be very, very different. You wouldn't be able to say Nashi Lav Gemiri. Women know this. Women know this very well. In fact, they know every single discrepancy in the halacha between men and women, right? And how if a man cheats on his wife, somehow they could stay married, but a woman cheats on her husband, they can't stay married. A woman knows this. So this was a great tshuva for the 18th century. But what about for us? Okay. What was the other point you raised? Oh, the other point is that in the case of the Klayim, of the Shatnas, And I don't think the Navi brings this up, but this is a huge point. In the case of the Shatnez, it's not that you're never going to tell them. It's that don't humiliate them publicly, wait till they get home, and then you'll tell them. I mean, there's an end game. There's some point where the Isser will stop. Whereas over here, the Isser doesn't keep on going and going and going. Every single time they sleep together, it's going to be another violation of the Isser. And even though normally Kavod HaBriyos may be Doche, an Isser of this type, what am I going to say over here? Yeah, Doche, a single Isser of this type, but we've discussed many times already, not this summer, but in the past, during the year, whatever, that sometimes a quantity of Isurim being done over and over and over again can outweigh a quality of an Isser. So yeah, Kavod HaBriyos may be a bigger deal than this Isser, but is it a bigger deal than this Isser times 10? And the source of all this, Rav Yosef Engel has a long essay about this where he tries to bring 20 rayas or so, which wins, quantity or quality? Is it better to do 10 small mitzvahs or one big mitzvah? Is it worse to do one big aveira or 10 small aveira? So the starting point is the Ran of Maseches Yuma, where the Ran talks about, in the name of the Ravid, a person needs to eat meat on Yom Kippur. Good? So what's the halach? On Shabbos, rather. Let's say on Shabbos. A person needs to eat meat on Shabbos. The only meat that you have that's already shechted, it's already dead, is non-kosher meat, is nevela, let's say. Right, it wasn't shechted, it was shot, you have that dead meat. Then you have a live cow in your backyard. So you have two options. You can shecht the cow and give the person, let's say the person needs to eat raw meat. So you can shecht the cow and give the person the raw meat from the cow, or you can give the person nevela. So which one do you give them? Says the Ran b'shem the Ravid, it depends. If the person only needs one kezayis, well then it's a no-brainer. You give them nevela. Nevela is an isur lav. Shechita on Shabbos is a chiv skila. So of course you violate the isur lav. You don't violate the isur skila. Hakala kal tchila, you violate the lesser isur. Let's say the person needs 10 kezayisim of meat. Now what are you going to do? If you shecht the cow, so that's one isur of shechita on Shabbos. All the meat now is kosher. So those kezayisim that the person eats is all kosher. So it's one isser, nisr Shabbos, skila. If you give the person the nevela meat that you have, each kezayis is a new isser. They're going to be in violation of 10 separate isurim. Says the Ravid, shech the cow. Because quantity sometimes beats out quality. Particularly, Post can point out, Rav Yosef Engel discusses, when it's never ending. When there's no end in sight, it's just going to go on and on and on forever. Meaning it's not just like 5 times, 10 times. Is a man and his wife, they're going to be living together who knows how long. Right? It's just going to go on and on. So maybe that's a consideration. I don't remember if Nadavid discusses, I cut the tshuva a little short because it's a very long tshuva. I didn't put the whole thing in the Mar Makomos. I don't remember if Nadavid discusses it. Another application or two. They'll at least be embarrassed privately, but they're going to get divorced. So that itself, for the, you know, everyone's going to be asking what happened, and they'll, you know, and when the story is that good, you know, the story is going to get out. So, you know, I guess that was the assumption. I guess that's something that hasn't changed since the 18th century that people like to talk. The Tzitz Eliezer in Chelek Vav Simon Vav was asked about the following shaila. What about, is a person allowed to wear a hearing aid on Shabbos? Let's say you can knock it down to Nisid Rabbanan. Can a person wear a hearing aid on Shabbos? Assuming that it's only Nisid Rabbanan to wear a hearing aid. Right, it's one of the big kashas in, you could ask, you know, 10 out of 10 Orthodox Jews that they'll have a hard time coming up with an answer. Are you allowed to talk into a microphone on Shabbos? No. Are you allowed to talk to someone who's wearing a hearing aid on Shabbos? Yes. Why? Right? Why is there a difference? So why is a person allowed to wear a hearing aid on Shabbos? So okay, that kash I'm not going to get to an answer to right now. Maybe we'll make a 10-minute halacha shiur or something about it. But what so says the Tzitz Eliezer, he's allowed to because Kavod HaBriyos. What is Kavod HaBriyos? He says, in Kavod HaBriyos, gadol mizeh. The guy's not going to be able to go to shul and function and hear Kriyas HaTorah. In conversation, he's not going to be able to hear people. It's going to be very difficult for him. So that's Kavod HaBriyos. Tsar Rav al bitul tefillah b'tzibur shmias Kriyas HaTorah. He says, that's not enough. The tsar of missing tefillah b'tzibur, that wouldn't do it. Because a lot of times we tell you, miss out mitzvah star reisa, rather than violate even the Surah Rabbanim. Like when? Like we, he says, where is it? we find, he says, that for mitzvos chamuros, even tiltul muktza sometimes is asir. But over here it's a kavod abrios issue. So since it's covered a brios issue, I think there's room to be makel. If I'm not mistaken, I couldn't find the tshuva. Since Eliezer has a tshuva somewhere else about allergy medication on Shabbos. Is an issue of taking medicine, midrabanon, on Shabbos, right? So since Eliezer, I think, says allergy medication is okay, because you have to walk around with puffy eyes and a red nose and, you know, snot dripping out of your nose, whatever, it's a covered a brios issue. And covered a brios, docha isur midrabanon. So for nisrabanon. Okay, there are a lot of very interesting applications of covered a brios. You can take a look at some of the maramakomas that we didn't get to. Mirzchem, tomorrow we'll move on to the next sugya.